Love. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla.
We're hearing a 10-second delay here in our head.
True.
Chris, turn something down, Chris.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Nope, we've not fixed a problem. Matthew Lillard is here tonight. Always good to see him.
Word.
Without a Paddle, name of the new movie.
Now it's fixed.
That's good.
Seth Green and Dax in here a couple of weeks ago giving a plug.
They're very funny guys, those guys.
There you go, Chris. Engineer Chris, I get the feeling, picks up the phone and talks to nobody when he screws up something on his board.
Makes him look like he's doing something.
Good job, Chris.
It's smart, though. All right, buddy. We're good now.
Tight.
Yeah. Matthew Lillard. Good to see you, buddy.
How's it going, fellas? I just came from your buddy.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that go?
I thought I was terrible.
No.
Yeah, honestly, I think I fell short.
Really? But here's the thing.
How can you fall short? You're just sitting there
talking.
You're
an actor.
Can I just say, I'm trying to be a movie star now. Mm-hmm. It's a new thing. I thought I'd try to be like this handsome leading guy. And I was so self-deprecating that halfway through I was like self-conscious. I'm like, I have to be stronger and stop beating myself up in front of the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't do it. I was just, and I don't know if my story was that funny.
Well,
you want to be funny and it wasn't, I don't know.
But here's the thing. You're nice looking. You look good with your
shirt
off.
Not that good. Yeah, and the shirt off.
You're tall.
Then.
You're in many, many big movies. You're a movie star, and you don't really have to be that funny or that engaging. You have to not be an a-hole. Mm. Number
right,
one.
Which I'm not.
Which sets you out from all the other
sort
movie
of.
Stars.
Here's what you need to do. As a celebrity, you need, as a leading.
These are the rules?
As a leading man type.
Okay.
You need to
this
not,
is a new realm for me. I was the best friend for a long time.
I know, but you're moving into leading man type.
I'm
and
trying.
Here's all that's required of you on these TV talk shows is not be an a-hole and not be too high. Too high.
On drugs?
Too effed up. Yeah.
You know, I did have a cocktail or two. I will admit to you right now, Drew.
No, that's
I'm out of cocktails. Does that mean I have a problem?
I said two. Yes. And in Drew's mind, yes.
In my mind, it's TWO, but in yours, it's TOO.
That's right. You have a cap of Robitussin. You have a problem, according to Dr. Drew. But my point
is, do you ever
is,
have a cocktail on like a Saturday night? Do you ever like.
Oh, yes.
You do?
I don't get ripped, but no, yeah.
When was the last time you were just hammered when you were housed?
College.
Yeah.
College?
Oh, no.
Come
really?
On.
Yeah, really?
Really? Come
I
on.
I don't like it.
What are you going to do when the boys start drinking? They're going to drink.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Drew's young sons are here tonight.
I don't talk about
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to talk about. Oh, see, look, Drew doesn't want to get into it.
Here's the whole thing.
We're still on the rules.
Yeah. Well, I want to say this about Drew. First off, we've been out a couple of nights and drank some red wine.
Sure.
You know.
Absolutely.
Got a little buzz going. Drew's only vomited from booze how many times in your life?
Half dozen, something like that, maybe.
Six times?
Yeah.
Have you vomited six times from booze?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Because I'm into the 80s, but
yeah.
I thought you were like I thought you were like two or three.
No, that was like in college.
That's how I can tell if I want to hang out with someone. How many times have you vomited? And I'm counting making yourself vomit because the bed is spinning.
That's the best feeling in the world.
From booze. Nothing better.
No, I mean, literally, it just makes the whole next week better.
Yeah. You know what my big move is? My big move is overhydrating myself before I go to bed.
Oh, that's smart.
I do that.
Yeah, so there's a big volume of vomit.
Dr. Drew's voice is ringing in my ear when I'm loaded, which is like, it's like 4:30 in the morning. It's like, okay, I've been drinking all night. I got to drink like a quart and a half of tap water. I got to drink some, I got to get some vitamins in me, potassium into me and all that kind of stuff. Drink water. And I'm like, chug, chug, chug.
I do not say that to somebody who's going to vomit.
And then I lie down on the bed and then I vomit because I drank a gallon
volumes,
of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But you feel better in the morning.
No. I do.
Couple Advil?
Yeah.
Here's the trick. You're
what
drinking all night. You wake up. The first time you have to go to the bathroom at like 5 in the morning because you've been drinking.
Right.
And then you drink the water before you go to bed. At that interstate, at that stop.
Right.
4 Advil.
4 Advil.
Good. You're good to go.
4 Advil.
You wake up at 9 o'clock and you're bingo.
All right, Drew, what are your tips if you're loaded and you're going to bed?
Don't drive.
You're going to be hungover. You're already
hungover. Well, Adam, my favorite piece of advice, I know you share this one too, is don't drink too much.
Let me say this, because I am going to strangle the pussies that give those every year. And then we're going to talk about Without a Paddle. But every year around New Year's, coming up next on the Channel 9 News, tips for not getting hungover this year. And then you come back, and it's same tip every time, which is drink a ton of water. Like, for every alcohol drink you drink, drink a glass of water.
You know what that makes you do?
Pee.
That's a glass of alcohol you're not going to drink now.
Right.
You filled yourself up.
And then it's like, and then they give you this one. And, as always, don't overdo it. Oh, so if I just drink a half glass of champagne, that's your tip? Your hangover tip is don't get drunk? Are you high?
Ridiculous.
That's not a tip.
Ridiculous.
It's like, oh, you want some tips on how to improve your mileage in your automobile?
Don't drive.
Don't drive! Yeah, are you kidding? Walk to work. Take a dog sled. That's not a tip.
RTD!
A tip is having me drink a ton like I normally do. And not getting hungover.
You are
the recipe for happiness the next day. There is no recipe.
The reality is there is nothing you can do. It's alcohol withdrawal.
What can help? Is it withdrawal?
It's withdrawal, yeah.
It's not dehydration. It's withdrawal.
There's a toxic effect of alcohol with some of the vomiting is from a direct intoxicating effects, but
right.
What you feel the next day is withdrawal.
You want it.
That's it.
Your body.
No, your body's just in withdrawal.
Well, your body needs it. Does your body need it? How about a hair from the dog that bit you? How about
a
cocktail?
That intensifies the withdrawal, so it makes it worse a few hours later.
I'm not worried about noon. I'm worried about 10 a.m., brother. How about a Bloody Mary?
Seriously. Best recipe. Come on. You can fire it up after the Bloody Mary.
Does Bloody Mary take the edge off?
It could.
All right, I'm going to have one. Chris, give me a Bloody Mary.
And by about 4 p.m., I'll have a seizure. That's good.
But me? No, I'm a heavyweight. Matthew Lillard here, everyone, Without a Paddle, coming out this Friday, tomorrow. Now, this movie is, because we had Seth and Dax Shepard in here, have been 2 weeks ago. Yeah, they were great. I thought for some reason, usually when someone comes in and plugs the movie then comes out the next day, like will be the case with you tomorrow. So I thought it was out, and then I thought, oh, no, Matthew's coming in here. I haven't heard. This movie came and went, I thought, for a split second yesterday. I haven't heard, but it's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, we've been on the road. We did a month tour around the United States. Yeah, it's great, actually.
Promoting it.
Paramount really believes in the movie. Ugh. We collectively love the movie, and so we went to San Francisco, Philadelphia, Toronto, down Atlanta, back up to New York. So we did this huge tour and, trying to get people out to go see the movie. So they came. We were back in L.A. and they did the show, and I was in Dallas, I think.
Is it, if you would liken it to a genre of movie, what would you liken it to?
You know, it's kind of like a Stand By Me, kind of like Romancing the Stone.
Oh,
so
really?
A bunch of guys
meets Vacation.
Meets Vacation. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah.
No, it's about these three guys that go in the backwoods. One of their buddies dies in the early frames of the movie, and they come back to be pallbearers from their, they're all these high school friends. And they go on this event. They find this treasure map to what they think is the lost treasure of D.B. Cooper,
mm-hmm.
who is a guy that jumped out of a plane in the 70s with all his money over Oregon. So they go into the backwoods of Oregon trying to find this lost treasure, and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, people who don't know this story, and I guarantee nobody listening to this show knows the story, and I will bet you...
Never heard of it.
You don't know D.B. Cooper?
True.
Don't know him.
Come on.
True's an idiot.
Do you know D.B. Cooper?
Of course I know D.B. Cooper. I guarantee engineer Chris does know D.B. Cooper.
No idea. Chris, seriously, do you know who Burt Reynolds is?
Listen, he thinks he's on K-Earth.
K-Earth?
Arrow.
Listen, do you know who Burt Reynolds is?
Yes.
All right.
Well, name one movie.
One movie? I don't know, but he did a lot of stuff.
Oh, good.
I know him.
That's fantastic.
All right.
Smoking the Bandit. Boogie Night.
Yes. Right.
So what?
Let me tell you about D.B. Cooper, by the way. And you probably know the story, Matthew, so you stop me if I'm wrong. But I'm just telling it so Drew knows.
Please.
I'm not just jumping on. This guy, and it's going to sound familiar to you eventually, Drew. This guy jumped out of a commercial jet, a flight. He basically, in the 70s. Mid-70s, probably. Early, or 74, 75, somewhere in there.
Sure.
He He hijacked the plane, essentially, landed, told them to bring a whole bunch of money on board. They put a whole bunch of money on board. It took back off again, flying over, you know, northwest, jumped out of the plane with the suitcase and the money in a parachute.
In the middle of winter, never seen again.
Middle of the winter, jumped out of a commercial flight. You know, it wasn't flying a Cessna.
How high was he?
Like 30,000 feet.
Oh, yeah, so he disintegrated.
No, I don't know if he was 30,000 feet. I don't know if he had the pilot bring it down to, you know, 12,000 feet, yeah, whatever it was.
800 miles an hour, 600 miles an hour, though.
Well, no, they can slow those planes down. They fly 200 miles an hour or something like that, and he jumped out. And they never found him. I don't know if they ever found his parachute.
No, they never. I mean, they found, like, 10 years ago, they found money floating in the ocean that they linked the serial numbers back to D.B. Cooper.
Hmm. Oh, really?
That's it.
Imagine, by the way, it's like one of these things where, all right, the guy's a maniac, the guy's a criminal, but how many guys parachute out of a 767? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it means he doesn't know what
it's
it
never,
means.
By the way, it's never been done before.
Right, that's the point.
It's never been done again.
I don't...
Not a good idea.
And people don't see... Now, nobody said, oh, we heard a thud when he hit the wing.
The tail, yeah.
It was nothing like that. It's just he jumped out and we could never find him over this, you know, vast forest land.
But maybe in the movie without a paddle?
Maybe we do.
Oh. And maybe we found something more.
Yeah.
Maybe we find ourselves.
Maybe they find love.
They do indeed. I saw
a commercial where they were all naked.
It does not mean we're in love. It just means we're getting warm.
Chris, punch up D.B. Cooper. See what you can find about the guy. All right, buddy. Drew, what's up with you? Come on, buddy.
Didn't know that one.
Yeah. Never heard of Doug Henning. Doesn't know D.B. Cooper. What's going on, buddy?
Do you know who Doug Henning is?
I do now.
Yeah, because I yelled at him for 3 years. Samantha?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
You there, baby doll?
Yeah.
17. What's up?
I had a question about getting an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin got two of them.
Speaking of comedy, without a paddle, tomorrow, Friday night, everybody.
Awesome.
Get
way
that
segue.
Abortion.
Good
and then,
segue.
Then go see Without a Paddle.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
All right. See Without a Paddle, then you get the abortion.
Samantha, go ahead.
She got two abortions, and she doesn't use birth control anymore because she said that she really doesn't have a chance of getting pregnant at all.
That's incorrect. Yeah. Incorrect. Not unless they took her uterus or ovaries out when they did one of her abortions.
She probably made that announcement after the first abortion,
right,
too.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's true.
Totally ridiculous.
Okay, that's all I was wondering.
Well, it sounds like she never used birth control.
Well, she went on and off it because she was gaining weight from it, and then she stopped taking it, and then she was gaining weight.
She's got problems.
How old is she?
She's 19 now.
All right.
No, she just turned 20 like a month ago.
Uh-huh.
She's ready to have children now.
All right.
Of course. But by her standards.
All right. Tell her to get it together, would you?
I've been trying.
All right. Well, listen, here's the thing with loser family members. You know, try to lead them toward the light, but if they ain't going to go, move on. Just cut them loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's the thing, everybody. You got to hold up your end of the bargain. You got to be a good friend. You got to be a good brother. You got to be a good cousin. You got to be a good father. If you're not going to hold it up, screw you.
Yeah, it's family, though. You can't just...
Oh, yeah?
It's family.
Yeah?
Well, you've never...
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
You've never heard Adam talk about his family.
I have all kinds of family things.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. I think we remember... I remember
a little bit about this.
We have...
Cut them loose.
Yeah.
Help them out a little.
But you have... I mean, listen. You have to step up as best you can. You have to fight the good fight. Uh-huh. You can't just turn your back.
You're right.
But here's the thing.
You have to realize you may not be able to change them.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you have to stand. I mean, I think you have to. Well, I think you have to keep the hand reached out.
Well, really, only when they're looking for help. In other words, when they're willing to go in
rock
a good
bottom,
direction.
After rock bottom.
Yeah, when they're going down, that's when you pull the hand back. Go, hey, you want to go that direction? Fine. I'm not having a part of that. If you want some help, you're ready to get out of there, call on me.
Right.
Speaking of help, let's hop back to the phones and see what we
can
do.
Great, Adam.
Kids.
Great segue.
Will?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yeah, I'm 21.
All right. You're calling from Riverside, so there's already a problem. What's your question today?
My girlfriend wants to have a threesome, but...
Why can't they tell a bogus call when they pick the phone up?
Your girlfriend wants to have a threesome.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Because, all right, we're going to label this bogus, bogus, and bogus.
No, I'm serious. I don't know if I want to have a threesome or not.
All right, don't.
Don't do it, then.
Don't do it. It'll screw up your relationship. Guaranteed.
How's he gonna screw up my relationship?
Because believe me, it will.
There are feelings that emerge for whatever reason because of these intimacies, whether right. it's you feeling jealous well, his, or she, it, whatever.
It by the way, I love you taking it seriously. I know he's just psyched. Right now he's high-fiving every dude that's in that room.
But there are people that do these things. So the point of the question
We answer bogus calls oftentimes because theoretically there are other people who are
not bogus
on the threshold of a threesome.
Oh, you're so good. Altruistic.
Yeah. We never stop caring.
So brave.
Here's here's Drew's original point. Here's a better point. Screw Drew's point. But here's the other thing. If you got a girl who really wants a threesome, she's looking to sabotage.
Yeah.
She's chaotic and looking to stir things up and screw up the relationship, whether she knows it or not.
Or she's an addict. There's some chaos here. Something.
All right. But here's another good point. So you're 21, so she's 19. This thing ain't going to make it another 4 months if she's on the war path anyway, looking to make things chaotic.
Enjoy.
She's trying to shake up that snow globe. Screw it. Get in with her and her friend. Have a good time. Get a head full of memories.
Remember it forever. God bless it.
Yeah. And then, pow, move on. Don't get anyone pregnant.
It's not your wife. You don't have two kids at home.
No, not yet.
What happens.
Man's a little defensive about this threesome thing.
No. Okay. I mean, he's a celebrity. He's probably had a few of these.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What do you think was going on the road for last month?
Oh, I saw the three of them on the film.
I'm sure my wife right now is listening going, oh, my God.
Because I know, first off, that Seth Green is a puss hound.
Irresistible. How could he?
By the way, I will tell you, he is.
Ladies love him.
He's like a koala. It's like a Jewish koala.
I swear to God, I've never seen a man more powerful in a club than him.
I'll tell you why Seth Green does it, because he's cute. And here's the thing. We're watching too many Disney cartoons. We think women want big, tall, strapping guys that look like Mark Gastineau or something.
I'm right here.
Yeah, look at that. Look at the guns on Matthew. The point is they don't mind that, but they like the little cuddly cute guys, too, because they don't pose a threat. You sleep with Seth Green, no one really cares. You tell your friends, I met Seth Green in a club, took him home, banged the bejesus out of him. He continued the tour. The next day, I'm never going to see him again. Your friend go, oh, that's nice.
I was thinking about how women...
You do it with Matthew Lillard, you're a whore.
Think about how women work tonight. I saw DeLovely, the movie.
You did?
Yeah, I saw it tonight.
Wow.
And his... Cole Porter's wife. Cole Porter's just
movies about
Cole Porter,
right?
Who's flagrantly gay his whole life,
right?
And she sort of has an arrangement with him. Basically, they have sort of a marriage. He's just
governor of New Jersey.
Hold on, engineer Chris. Cole Porter. No, you've heard of him?
Yeah.
Name a song.
Well, I don't know the songs, but he's jazz.
All right, that's good. You're good. Yeah. You find DB Cooper on there?
Yes.
All right, don't talk.
But her first husband is a guy that beat the crap out of her, alcoholic, beat the crap out of her.
Uh-huh.
Second is a gay guy that she can't have a relationship with.
Right.
And she keeps trying to geographically alter his life. Every time he gets going with a bunch of gay guys, she moves into another city. Mm-hmm. Figures finally he'll focus on me now.
Right.
She goes from the completely enmeshed, chaotic, abusive relationship to the unavailable, impossible intimacy.
Right.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Like when you saw Alien versus Predator, did you tear apart those relationships?
Oh, absolutely. Right.
Like, what's happening with that woman?
Like if you had Alien's mom,
In Act 3, the Predator entered a shame spiral from which he never recovered. I remember Drew saying for Adam that.
I told you, shame-based. Completely shame-based. His dad used to beat him.
Obviously, he was a product of abuse. Otherwise, he would not come to this planet and hunt human prey.
The ultimate prey,
by the way.
No
humans.
Ability.
The ultimate prey. I always love that. Like, naked dude running from you. That's the ultimate prey? What's it going to do? Throw some fecal matter?
You saw the movie?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Not yet.
But... Well, by the way, one of the reasons I saw DeLovely tonight is I'm seeing Without a Paddle tomorrow.
Yes!
My kids are completely...
Yeah! Retarded high five.
Wow, that was terrible.
Come on, buddy. Yes. What's up with you?
Hey, mind your own business.
You're giving the old man high five. Come on,
by the way,
he's taking a good high five.
Well, screw you. He's taking his kids to see the movie.
Yeah.
I'm going with him.
Yeah!
I'm holding you to that.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, though. Yeah. Seth Green... pound for pound, the funniest guy in this business.
He is funny.
I mean, Dax is hysterical. I mean, two of them are the most talented people I've ever worked with.
Yes. Yeah, Seth is one of these guys that normally you have guys on the show and you're like, all right, he's a big-time actor, but he can't do what we do. Seth Green comes on the show and it's like, all right, he could do this if he wanted to. If he wanted to take a huge pay cut and not get the chicks anymore, he could come in and do this. Is there anything worse than having a guy come in and realizing that he could kind of do your job, whatever your job is? I feel bad for Teamsters. Every guy who gets behind the wheel of a car could replace them. Like, hey, can you eat? Can you eat, chain smoke, and drive an automatic?
That's yes, bad.
Then you can do my job. All right. And get my ass kicked when we leave. All right, what are we doing, Drew? Let's
go. We're taking a break.
Germany or Florida?
We'll come back with Germany or Florida.
We're taking a break.
Germany?
Germany or Florida? This game is sweeping the nation. Matthew Lillard here tonight from the new movie Without a Paddle. It is coming out tomorrow. That is Friday the 20th, all over the goddamn place. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thanks. Way off as usual. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. With real bad instincts. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Matthew Lillard is here tonight. Just looking for next week. Jenna Jameson.
Ooh. Jenna Jameson.
I broke her in this business, Drew.
I remember when you hauled her in here and said, this is the one.
This is the future of masturbation.
For you.
Oh, yes.
Come on. You don't really, I mean.
She's what's happening in masturbation today.
No, dude. There's nothing worse than porn that's like that.
Yeah. No, that's right.
I mean, come on.
No.
Fake. I mean, that's like fake women, fake this, fake blah, blah, blah.
You know, you hit it exactly right,
when you were 14.
Adam is not into any of that. That's why he has a bunker filled with it and spends.
Bunker. Since when is a basement a bunker?
A Quonset hut
Since
filled?
When is a fortified basement a bunker?
Okay. He has a huge room filled with.
Since one is a basement with 4 foot of steel reinforced concrete around it and an airtight 3-inch thick case hardened door, a bunker.
And a bank vault door that has a.
There's an airlock in it. Since when is that a bunker?
An electronic scanning device, retinal scans.
You read retinas. I thought I saw it in a bond, but I thought it was
3 years worth of supplies and.
Yeah.
No.
Fresh water.
Dried. No, just porn.
Oh, but Drew, I do have stuff to live off of down there in case I.
You were going to buy it, you told me. You were going to put something like that in there.
Look, I'm with Matthew. What Matthew is saying, and I hope he's not saying there's something wrong with porn in general.
No, bad porn.
He doesn't like the shaved hoo-ha and the crazy tattoos and the hood piercing. Oh.
Don't get me wrong. I do like a tattoo.
What about the hood piercings? You know what I mean?
I think he's talking about that. It's a little funky. I hate is fake.
He's talking about plastic enhancement. He's talking about.
No, it's not even like fake boobs, but like the fake orgasm and the fake dude and the fake chick and the fake. I mean, I like.
What do you want?
I like the real stuff.
You like the 70s
stuff? Yeah, not the hairness. No, I don't like the hairness.
I don't mind the hairness. The 70s. It's not that bad.
I like hair.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of the hair.
What era do you like or what genre?
You know what I like?
Porn?
I like the amateur, like, hey, my wife and I mean, the real amateur.
Mm-hmm.
I like a woman that looks like a real woman. Mm-hmm. I don't like a woman that looks, you know, and completely
manufactured.
Huge
right.
Breasts and, like, you know, skinny and little. I like a little woman with a little life on her.
So you don't like skinny with the huge fake breasts.
Like, I think that has a place in this world.
Yes, it does, in my heart.
It was great from, like, age 16
Matt,
to 20.
Matt, it's time for you to leave.
Okay, now we're going to brawl.
You got to leave.
Come on.
We got to throw down.
Seriously, it's like looking at Playboy. Do you like looking at Playboy still?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on with Playboy, which I've just looked at recently.
The
chicks are getting too shaved down there, and they're, like, tats and piercings and stuff. I do believe we all like our era that we grew up with. And ultimately, I'm wondering if guys that are 17, 16, 17, 18 now, 30 years from now, will go, oh, why couldn't I just have an old-fashioned chick with a hood piercing and a nice dragon tat and some fake boobs? You know what I mean?
It's what
like maybe that's what they look at.
It's emblazoned in your psyche.
I mean, is there a woman under the age of 25 that doesn't have that tattoo at the nape of her ass?
Right. And my feeling is I don't like it when they get a little evil. There's a weird evil porn side where the chicks are aggressive and they got a lot of piercings and they wear like too much black and they spit on the guy's dork and give him that game face when they're giving him the handy. That, come on, Drew, let me on your hand. Like, you want it, don't you? They're like, I'm going to break this thing off and F my girlfriend with it. It's like, easy, baby. It's called making love. Oh, understand? Geez.
Hey, Ann.
Love.
You checking my boy, my son's leave, please?
Oh,
check,
yeah.
Check.
Sure not
oh, that's great. Anything. Sorry, fellas.
That's disgusting.
Listen, don't listen. That's terrible.
They're fine.
There's 15-year-olds out there going, how do I get a hold of some of that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like evil. I don't like the evil side of porn. Oh. And it's taking a turn for the edgy. It's like Japanese anime or something. The chicks are too skinny. They're too pointy. There's too many piercings. The tats.
It's too
aggressive.
Bad.
Too aggressive.
Do you like any of that bondage S&M stuff?
No.
Not your thing.
Not my bag.
Yeah, not my thing.
Drew's all over it.
What's
but not
that?
Me.
What?
What were you thinking of, Drew?
I'm bringing up a question here that's crazy.
Just agree with us.
Yes.
Okay. See, Drew's into the
bondage. By the way, can I just say, the next woman... Maybe the hottest woman in rock and roll right now.
The Black Eyed Peas chick?
Yeah, I think she's dope.
She's coming in. And by the way, Lisa Loeb, who I like as well, is coming in next week as well. Speaking of not edgy, but sort of cute and kind of such a sexy secretary with the glasses kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Lisa Loeb.
Yeah. Sure.
You could get into that.
Sure.
You'd throw her one just to say you did, right?
Yeah, sure.
Just
yeah.
to see she could say.
In the fantasy yeah. world, I would sure
yeah.
do that.
No, you're happily married.
Happily
man.
Married, but outside of the marriage, yeah, I would do that.
Yeah. See, I don't think, I'm not sure if it works Papa. Quite the same with chicks. Like, because the Loeb Lillard would be almost a kind of cool push on the tell your friends category.
Oh,
you know
I see.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
what?
If well,
who gets more out of it? More mileage.
If Matthew Lillard nails Lisa Loeb, he gets to tell Seth Green, hey, guess who, of course, Seth probably got her the week before. But
sure.
the point is, and she didn't even know it. Oh, yeah. He'll get on you in your sleep like a...
Steady.
He's like a mite.
Steady.
He's like one of them bed mites.
Stop.
You don't know when they're on you. They've done their business and have gone.
Get away from my man.
But the point is, Matthew Lillard gets Lisa Loeb. He gets to tell his buddies he got Lisa Loeb. That's good. She gets to tell her friends she got Matthew Lillard. It's a little bit of a push.
No, she... I've
who wins?
Well, her friends would be like this. Who?
No.
Yes.
No, they know.
Then she would say, Shaggy, and I would say, and she would say, yes, the Shagster gave me the 9 inches of limb.
There'd always be the one confused friend who's like, you got on with a dog? No, Scooby's. Oh, Cheryl, just go get some more Cosmopolitans for the
Cheryl.
Table. All right. Now that we've solved that hypothetical, let's go.
Germany
let's break it down. It's time to play Germany or Florida. Here's how the game works. The all bizarre stories either come out of Germany or Florida. People call in, they tell us the bizarre story, and then we guess. Is it Germany or Florida? Jessica?
Yep.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay, I found this like really weird story, and it's kind of icky.
All right.
Okay, here it is. A 28-year-old woman, and in like sick way of getting back at her ex for cheating on her, took his two Labradors and put them in black trash bags and threw them in his swimming pool.
Mm.
And, like, they died, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, like, no charges were pressed because they got back together. That's
oh.
not
all
right.
Right. Yeah.
It's Florida.
The trash bag, the yeah. swimming pool, it all smells like Florida. The lab's
trash.
A little Germany, but I'm
not
going...
A, not a Weimaraner. It's a,
all like, right. I'm going Florida.
Yeah.
Just the word trash.
You go Florida?
Like, listen,
Florida.
This Florida. Guy was with this crazy woman in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it's the fact that she did what she did isn't because she was briefly crazy. She was already crazy.
By the way, do you have to press charges for something like that? Don't you just get in a certain amount of trouble anyway?
For animal
yeah.
protection.
Like, what if he just killed his, yeah. you know, son? Oh, he didn't press charges.
Crime of passion.
Okay, we're going Florida.
You guys are correct.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Jessica.
You didn't exploit.
Yes.
Like... I have to disagree. I don't think that Seth Green's, like, cute at all. I think you're really hot, and he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say he's got – there's nothing worse than being in – you know, because we spent 6 weeks in underwear in this movie. And I'm a normal guy. I struggle with a little love handle action.
Sure.
I'm from the Midwest. I like steak and pasta. There's nothing wrong with having a little chunk on your body.
That's right.
That Seth Green is a sinewy man with nothing but muscles and 12 packs. And he's in that little tidy whitey piece of action.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, he may be pasty, but ladies, he's all of 2% body fat.
And the thing about it, too, is you know, he's a small man in stature, but the camera doesn't show that adequately. He just looks like he's in good shape and you're not.
Yeah, and by the way, he's got those doughy eyes. I'm wrong. I think you're wrong. I think he's much better looking than I am.
Well, here's the thing. If you're out with Matthew Lillard and Seth Green, you're covered. If you like this kind of guy or you like that kind of guy. It just depends what your taste is. You're
there
covered.
We go.
You know what I'm saying,
Drew?
For Jessica?
Sure. For Schnizzle.
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I just want to say I've listened to you guys through all through college. I can't listen to you anymore where I'm at, but you guys helped me through a lot of stuff in my life. But anyway, I am looking to, like, relocate to, like, California, and I have a pretty good job right now. I've had it since college, and I don't know how to go about, like, asking for them to relocate me because, I've not done the greatest job where I'm at right now, but my boss keeps me around. I think, you know, he's kind of attracted to me. I'm just afraid that if I do ask, he's going to be like, well, you know, if you don't want to work for me anymore, then screw you.
Hold on. Uh-huh. Are you hot?
Yeah.
You're all right. So, well, you know you're hot. You're 24.
Yeah.
You know you're hot. And your boss is how old?
He is 40.
And, you think he'd ever try to make a move on you, or he just likes having a good-looking girl around?
Well, he's tried to make a move, but he's kind of left it up to me. Like, we had this convention in Vegas last year, he kind of he walked me to my room and stuff and kind of hung around and that kind of thing. And just he was kind of
so
seeing
funny.
If, I, you know, test
men really behave like canines at a certain point. They just kind of pace outside the room.
Is he married?
Wagging their tail.
Yeah, he's married. And he has kids. I'm attracted to him, but I wouldn't want to, you know, pursue
anything. All right,
anything.
Good. You're healthy.
All right.
Fine.
Where do you live? You sound like you're from Mars. Like, you're talking like you're from this different planet. Where are you at?
Well, I'm on my cell phone, but I'm in Kansas. So.
Kansas.
Yeah.
All right. So
technically, you're close.
You guys have a good relationship. You're not a model employee, but if you look like a model, you don't have to be a model employee. Am I right,
Adam,
Drew?
You are
come on,
so
get it up,
clever.
Write that down.
Got
Would you write that down?
Done and
good
done.
Stuff.
Hey, Jessica, I don't understand what you're saying. If you want to relocate, what do you care? You mean relocate within this company?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's a good position.
If you're afraid, if you go to your boss and say I'm relocating, he'll somehow not give you a referral.
Not that he wouldn't give me a referral. Basically because he wants me to stay in his area.
No, look. Why don't you get the job first?
The job first. He's got to help.
He's got to kick her up the ladder, down the ladder.
All right, hold on. I know everyone's going to get mad, but one BJ. I you know the
he
beauty.
He won't be mad.
You know the beauty of guys. I mean, swear to God, it stop me if I'm wrong. But if she came up, you know, she wore a mini skirt on Monday and just went in there and said, "Look, I'm going to give you the best BJ you ever had. It's only going to be one, and then I'm hitting the bricks. I'm going to Los Angeles. I'm going to need a hell of a referral from you. I mean, I'm talking about a touchdown, not a field goal. I'm going to need something good. I'm going to need to see it written. I'll make sure the guy get it. And I'm going to give you a hell of a BJ. Oh, and by the way, you got 8 minutes. If nothing happens, I'm pulling my mouth and heading to L.A. Is there a guy in the world? I mean, like this guy.
No.
Is this guy not going to do that?
He's not going to do it.
She should do it then,
He's not going to do it.
No?
He's going to imagine video cameras and things. He's going to go to jail. I mean, that's all she has to do is then say, hey,
he's
like
to
own
do
this
it.
Company.
No, he would do it. He already tried in Vegas.
Well,
yeah, but Vegas is Vegas. I mean, that's why. He wouldn't do that under normal circumstances.
Oh, I bet he would.
Come on,
Jessica.
She is.
Do you think he would go for my plan?
I probably. He's pretty kind of.
What kind of business is this?
It's a retail kind of retail organization.
You just tell him to give you the referral. You're moving to Los Angeles.
Yeah, if he can't discriminate against you merely because
he's not going to discriminate. He's just she's a crappy employee.
Well, I'm not crappy. I've just not done as well as they thought I would have. So.
Yeah. In terms of sales, or what does that mean? You were late to work? You take advantage of things? What does that mean?
He thought he was going to nail her in Vegas. Right. So he didn't, so he's disappointed in her performance.
I'm young, and I'm female, and they expect, you know, I did, like, really well right off the bat out of school and everything, and now I haven't done as well in the last year, so I'm just kind of, like, you know.
Well, wait, why don't you just take off and go to California and see what happens?
Well,
screw the job. You can go find another job.
Yeah.
Well, but she wants this. Just go tell them you're moving to L.A. and you need the referral.
Okay.
And that's it.
I imagine there are people out there just outraged by this situation.
Why?
To the show. Because it's discriminatory.
Why?
She is worried that he's going to take some sort of vengeance upon her for leaving.
No, I
understand. She's also concerned he's going to be honest about her lack of performance. And that's how she skates by now, is by his being attracted and sort of overlooking that.
Yeah.
But there's also, she said, a concern that he was going to somehow... take advantage of her weaknesses.
I don't think that's... Is that what you're saying, Jessica? Do you think there's going to be a vengeance side of this or a payback side?
Possibly, because, like, whenever I get evaluated, like, compared to other managers in my my region, I don't get evaluated as harshly as I think I should.
That's not what you call... That's not vengeance.
Right.
I'm asking, do you think he's actually going to try to punish you, or is he just going to go, look, you're leaving, and let's be honest, I'm going to have a hard time recommending you when your performance isn't that great?
Right. Like, he pats me on the head now, and now that I want to, you know, move on from this area, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be different about...
See?
First off...
Well, one is he's going to be honest.
How good she can be at her goddamn job, but she can't answer her effing question for the three times I've posed it to her. Listen, here's all I want to know. Is there... I was almost used the word punitive, but then...
good word.
Make things more confusing.
Quarter word.
Are you scared he's just going to be honest and say you're not that good at what you do? Or do you think he's going to be spiteful? Like, say, I'm going to punish you a little bit.
I think he's just going to be honest. All right.
Well, there you go.
Drew, do you ever get tired of being wrong?
Well, once she's clear about what her position is, that's
I know,
fine.
But you can't listen to the words. You got to get the feeling, man. Let me touch. Feel? Let's make a chain. Touch Matthew.
I'm in. Kumbaya.
You feel the electricity? You feel it? Close the loop.
All right. Come on.
Oh, I broke the chain.
Let's go.
Are we doing it or not doing it?
I wanted to do it.
Are we going to hold hands or not hold hands?
This guy was in Seth Green for 4 months.
I know that. That's what's weirding me out.
Idaho.
It's freaking me out a little bit here.
All right. Let's go.
Forgive me.
Drew's kids are here. He's trying to set an example for him.
You're not homophobic.
No, he loves
non-homophobic dude out here.
Matthew Lillard in studio tonight. We'll take yourselves a quick break. Drew, settle in now, buddy. Drew got charged up. He's wound up. Where are your kids? Playing video games?
I'm going to go see.
Go see where they
are. First time I've held hands in this show before.
It felt good, didn't it?
It felt good.
Come on. Let's get warm, pal. Kumbaya. You got kids. I get kids. Let's kiss and cuddle.
Yeah, there you go.
Ow!
Without a paddle, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Lisa Loeb in next week. Jenna Jameson as well. And the Black Eyed Peas. Matthew Lillard here tonight. Speaking of Black Eyed Peas, Matthew had his manservant bring him some
dinner. That was
dinner.
Paulie. Paulie's been driving me around for the last month.
He had him bring some Cuban food. Solid. I'll tell you, plantains, onions, rice, the beans.
You can fry anything and it tastes good. You can fry your own fish, ladies and gentlemen, at home.
Just deep fry it and eat it.
And you just eat it and it's yummy.
Yeah. Mm. I once put tempura on a golf ball that a cow had passed.
Nice.
And it was delicious.
Nice.
If you fry anything, it's good. You put tempura on something.
Oh.
Tempura. Drew, give me your glasses. I'll dip them in tempura sauce, fry them up.
Chew them up.
Me and Matthew will be in S7.
You know that guy that ate the plane? Tempura.
Tempura.
Dip that whole thing.
You really could eat a steamroller. Ugh. You could eat anything.
That was great. Paulie, thank you.
You know that?
Steamroller.
Yeah. You know the only thing you couldn't eat dipped in tempura? The only thing you still couldn't stomach, Drew?
Penis.
Penis.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, that goes outside.
Couldn't do that.
I still couldn't do that.
Couldn't do that.
But I would get many bites in before I realized what it was.
Right.
And so, if you had the dipping sauce,
Yeah.
The dipping sauce.
And then when you pass the penis, it's like you got it in the backside, too.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you gave oral and anal a day later. Well, I'm just saying, do the math. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem with eating penis. You do the oral and the anal. You know, that's the big drawback.
His kids are here.
All right, your kids are here,
just think
Drew.
Of it as calamari.
Let's go. Here we go. Let's focus now.
Chewy. Tastes like chicken.
Without a Paddle, name of the new movie.
Tomorrow.
It is out tomorrow.
Big movie.
Huge.
Drew's whole clan is going.
We're seeing it.
Drew's going. There's no other comedies out, is there?
Why do you want to see it?
Yeah,
what has led you?
I think it looks. I like all you guys, and I'm going to see it. It looks funny, but my kids are completely preoccupied about it. In fact, if you want to sort of take the pulse of the young people, they were like concerned that we probably wouldn't be able to get in. It's going to be there's such a buzz in.
Yeah.
They're like, "Well, it's going to be too busy."
Great.
Drew's kid really. They really do sort of represent America. One of them said he laughed so hard his ascot came off.
He laughed his ass off.
He said he laughed his ass got off, and then said how droll he was to the other child. the other one noted is Rye Witt. It's appreciated. What school they go to, Drew?
Little Lord Fauntleroy School for albino
hemophilia.
Yes, yes.
That's right. That's where Drew graduated. Do you want to try a clean run on that one?
Little Lord Fauntleroy's School for Albino Hemophilia.
Yeah. Kate?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
My boyfriend just won't... I mean, he'll get it up, but it just won't stay up, and he'll just explode way sooner than I wanted him to.
That happens.
Well, it has to go down after that.
She did not go to the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophilia.
No, she went to some fine finishing school, no doubt.
I'm guessing Geneva.
Yeah.
All right, so his penis explodes before...
Okay, Lausanne or Geneva, seriously.
Yeah, where'd you go to finishing school?
And how long does he go for?
He goes for 5 minutes, and then he ordered some pills offline, and then he went 10 minutes.
Yeah, but then he came right back, right? Isn't that the whole trick of the pill?
You mean do a second time?
Yeah, you just go for hours.
Yeah, after half an hour, and then another 10 minutes, and then.
All right, so
10 minutes. I would count yourself lucky.
Here's 10 minutes.
My last boyfriend went for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, you're never going to find
that. He was bored.
Yeah, that's not good.
Have you shared that with your new man?
Have I shared that?
Yes.
Well, I think he knows that he doesn't last long enough.
Now, have you shared the information about the old boyfriend?
4 hours.
No.
No. Okay. I don't know what's going on with you, Kate. You sound a little white trashy. Am I right?
Angry.
I'm not white.
A little angry. Oh, you're not?
No.
I think we can make you honorary white trash just based on your behavior more than the color of your skin.
Because I want a guy to last longer?
You what? No, you sound angry and kind of stupid, but what is your nationality?
I'm stupid. I'm a nurse.
Okay. What's your nationality?
I'm Mexican.
All right.
Half Mexican, anyways.
All right. And what's the other half of you?
White.
Well, that's the trash part. And now nurse usually means crazy, by the way.
Yes.
Did you have to take care of? Were you like a caretaker at home? Dad, alcoholic or something? Huh?
I work at a hospital.
No, he means as a child.
As a child. Is somebody sick or somebody a drug addict?
No.
In your family. You weren't a caretaker in your family system of origin. And there was no alcoholism or drug addiction?
No.
No? Okay. Your dad hung out?
No.
Yeah, it's
very good
about.
Family.
Where's your dad?
My dad?
Yeah.
Do I sleep at home?
Oh, well, so your parents were together the whole time you were a kid?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. Sounds like she said something else.
No, yeah.
All right, she was just used to saying no. I got her on a no roll.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, here's the thing. Does a guy give you oral sex?
Yeah.
Oh, she's not one of those.
You don't like the oral sex?
No, it's just not enough. Anyway.
It's not fixing the problem.
Does he at least try to do a good job with the oral sex?
No, he does a good job.
She's the multi-orgasmic type.
You need the penetration, right?
Yeah.
You need long. Well, I don't understand the Viagra. Doesn't the Viagra work?
Why doesn't he get some Viagra? Kate?
Yeah?
Why doesn't he get Viagra or Cialis or
I don't know. It was pills that he took. He got the free pills online, and they didn't...
First of all, you are not an RN. You are not
There's
a place.
No way.
You're not an RN.
You're practically retarded.
I don't think you're an LVN. So, you know, if you don't understand what the medicine he's taking, you're a nurse's aide or something,
no,
right?
I didn't get the name of the drug that he was taking.
Yeah. Are you a nurse's aide, Kate, or not?
Huh?
You're a nurse's aide.
I'm an EMT.
Yeah. Listen, have him get one of the nitric oxide medications, the Levitra, Cialis, or Viagra. If it's important for you that he have a sustained erection after your orgasms, that's how you work that out if that's critical for you. Otherwise, this is just his biology, and you can't change that.
All right. I don't know if the phone's cutting in or out, or Kate's cutting in and out.
Her brain's
cutting
in. She
doesn't track well.
No, okay.
Wait, is it?
She's an EMT?
You're saying,
oh,
he doesn't believe it. You're saying that it's biological.
She's an EMT, yeah.
It's biological. You can't control how long you hang in there.
Guys, just you can control it. You can sort of learn, but basically he's not going from 10 minutes to 3 hours. Never. That's not going to happen. He can go a second time, and he can go from 10 minutes maybe to 20 minutes, but she's, you know, she wants to give him set the tempo. He's going to have to adjust his biology.
Ugh. I got such a weird vibe off of Kate. There's something wrong with her, and I can't put my finger
really?
On
see,
it.
Really? I thought she was fine.
No.
I think it could have been you calling her white trash. Maybe she didn't like that.
My spidey sense was tingling the second she got on the line.
Me too.
Drew, right? No. There's something wrong with her, and I can't figure it out, but she's angry. I know
It's a trauma thing.
But her boyfriends are dead.
Somebody did something to her.
Adams becomes abusive to somebody that has been a trauma victim. He immediately abuses.
That's right.
That's how you can tell.
Awesome. So all of you out there looking for help, please call in. Adam.
Matthew Lillard in tonight. Without a Paddle, name of the new joint. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. Wow. Matthew Lillard digging into Dr. Drew. Sharing
Kumbaya.
Some of his plantain with the young Drews.
Mm-hmm.
Drew's brought his boys.
Handsome fellas. You're going to have a handful there in high school. Those fellas are good-looking boys.
Good looking.
Good times.
And big feet. It means they're going to be big. Big, good-looking boys.
Play lots of sports.
Let's hope Drew doesn't give him a personality disorder with all his crazy demands. Let me tell you something, Drew. It pertains to love and kids. Yeah. You love something, you set it free. If it comes back, then you yell at it. I don't know how the rest goes. But the point is don't put too much pressure on the kids.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look at me. I grew wild like ivy.
And I said to you once,
and look at me.
You almost punched me. It was like, imagine what you could have done if somebody actually developed you.
Imagine what I could have done. Secret agent, gymnast, what do you think?
Man of mystery.
Oh, please. Look, first off, I'm literally a millionaire. What you need to focus on is how much money you'd be making if I didn't come on this show. Yeah, instead of my potential. Huh? What would have been? Yeah, I'll tell you what would have been. You've been driving a Daihatsu Charade in here tonight. Those two kids duct taped to the roof instead of your BMW. Matt?
Hey,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry, wrong man. I'm going to work as a consultant to companies when they try to come up with bad names for things. We're going to call our car the Charade. Slow down.
Excuse me,
folks. Yeah, I know it's a beautiful flower in your land. Here it just means someone is trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes. No, we're not going to have it. I'll just call it something else where you got it. Call the Charade where you got it, and here you call it the Turbo Thrust. You know what I mean? Yes?
Perfect.
All right. You ready to rock?
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard in here tonight, by the way, Without a Paddle, name of the new movie, coming out in about an hour.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be tomorrow.
Is there going to be a midnight showing somewhere?
I don't think so.
Oh.
We're a little bit of the underdogs of the summer. I don't think anyone expects us to do huge business, but I think we're really going to fire it up this weekend.
What's your comedies are out right now?
Not a lot of comedies out right now. Harold and Kumar came out, and then that's now kind of gone. And then Open Water comes out tomorrow, and Exorcist comes out tomorrow.
Wait a minute. Open Water has been out for a few weeks.
Yeah, limited release. It's going big.
Ah,
which one's that? What is that?
That's the shark movie.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not a comedy by any stretch of the imagination.
No. I think that's our market right now.
And then you got your Alien versus Predator.
AVP, yeah.
And you got your new Tom Cruise flick and all that stuff.
The Lovely's out.
The Lovely.
I will say
different
that
audience.
If you're going to see one movie this year, it should be Without a Paddle.
Yeah.
If you're going to see two movies, that Garden State's kind of a charming little movie.
Mm-hmm.
Garden State, the Zach Braff, and
not just seeing the ads for it.
Paramount's now turning in their graves, right?
Yeah,
promoting another movie, but it's a great little movie.
They don't really work that if you can only see one movie this year angle like they used to about 8 years ago, because I think they figured out, well, who's going to stop you from seeing more than one movie?
Right.
Doesn't really make sense. Or do you, or you're on that fixed income. I can see either one nighttime showing or two matinees, but that's it for the year. And no popcorn. All right, let's talk to Matt, who's 24. Matt?
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
You keep throwing me off. There's too many Matts on the show.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Matthew Lillard, I wanted to say loved you in SLC Punk.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, you three guys are all married. I'm getting married in 22 days. I want to know what's your advice for somebody getting married?
That's
a good question.
Everybody says it's pretty hard.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Here, how's your bitch?
Is
she cool?
You call that again, I'll reach through this phone. And
are they? No. I mean, bad is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, she's a good woman.
She's good. Here's the whole thing. No one really talks about this too much. They talk about all these tips for marriage and stuff. If you're a reasonable person and a good person and an easy person to hang with, like, you know, you're a good roommate kind of thing, and she's a reasonable and easy person to hang with. Now, Drew, I know you're making a face. Well, here's the thing. You're a pain in the ass, and so is your wife. That's the problem.
Perfect. And it works great.
But I'm just saying, you're maintenance like a Bugatti. you're crazy. If you're a nice Camry like Matthew Lillard over here, an Ace Corolla, it's easy going.
The reason I'm saying that, sometimes there can be hidden aggression and things like that, and the easygoing types.
Well, then you're not truly easygoing. Yeah. That's just and it's hard face
people
you
to,
put on.
It's hard for people to understand that sometimes. I think the thing to do, don't get married in your early 20s, because the data on that is bad.
Yeah.
That's the fact.
How old are you,
marriages
Matt?
From the 20s do
he's
not
24.
Last.
I'm calling from Kansas, so...
But I do think it's a regional thing. In California,
I'm not saying you can't have a good marriage in your 20s. I'm just saying that's, you know, you want to stack the cards in your favor. That's something you can do. Next thing you do, you look at each other's scripts. What kind of family system do you come from? Chaos? Broken? Mm-hmm. Just know that unless you've had treatment, you're going to recreate what you lived through in your family system, no matter how hard you try not to. Or you're going to go so far the other direction that you're going to create pathology on that side of the spectrum. So you have to really look at these things carefully and consider whether or not somebody, maybe some premarital counseling, that kind of thing.
Matt?
Yeah?
Does she love her daddy?
Actually, her father died when she was 13.
That could be good.
Could be good.
Yeah, she got some counseling.
Could be what we call mitzvah.
Did she say, thank God?
Hold on. Is there anyone worse doctor than you? Father passed away at 13. Okay, now we got something. That's something to work with.
That's the upside.
Fantastic.
That's the upside.
All right, so that sounds good. One for one. What else?
In this show, we're used to the abusive alcoholic dad.
Well,
that's true. A dead dad is a better thing.
Well, did she love her dad?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
And how did he pass away? What happened?
He got cancer.
Ugh. All right. So that's traumatizing.
Mm. True.
But it's not going to...
At 13, it's pretty good. You're good.
You just dodged a bullet there. Yeah, if it happened at 9, that's a bitch.
Yeah.
She
13's right on the cusp, though.
She had some big issues with her mom after all of that, and she got some counseling for that.
Right. Right,
what did her mom do? Start dating too fast or something?
No. Her mom just kind of never dealt with the grief in front of her, and... my fiance found it real hard to deal with grief.
Yeah, that's all good.
That all sounds very open.
Very good.
She loved her dad, and what about you? You're cool with your mom?
Yeah. My parents are both still married.
All right.
It's
going to be a layup.
Fine.
Now, you guys will be 80 and together and waiting to die.
There's a whole theory that the first year can be tough. Do you guys live together now?
No, we don't.
But here's another thing that people don't factor into. Are you, and this is going to sound very vague, and I'm not sure I can articulate it in a way that is fair, but are you really into each other? You mean, are you just sort of, okay, this is good, this is comfortable, or do we have some passion here?
I'd say there's a fair amount of passion. We've been dating for 5 years, and
All right. True. Why? What are you getting at?
Because the passion is a dangerous thing, right? That's really the unhealthy piece is what creates the passion.
Right.
But you want to have enough of that because it's renewing. And somebody comes from a good family system and who has, you know, parents been together and stuff, that can be important to have that.
Important to have the passion.
A little bit of it.
Why
yeah.
from a good family?
Because if you feel a lot of passion from a bad family, that's dragging you into the bad stuff.
Right. That's bad passion.
Right.
This is anger.
It's like cholesterol.
It's like it's energy.
No, it's attraction. It's attraction to trauma. When we're traumatized, things we didn't like in our childhood, we find attractive in our adult life. They're arousing. We're into it. We're drawn to it like a moth to a flame.
Yeah.
So if I like getting spanked...
That's because you were spanked, you know, whenever. You didn't like it.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you have it.
That's healthy.
A little paddle every now and then.
Let's you know you're alive.
Kumbaya, I'm in. I'm down.
All right, Drew, don't get too cathartic with the crazy passion part.
Crazy. Matthew scared me.
No, he's fine.
Oh, can we hold hands again?
Cool. No, not
just
now.
One real quick hold.
No more hanging with Drew's kids, by the way. Glennis? Glennis?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
Is it Glennis?
Glennis.
Yeah. All right. What's up?
Actually, 2 days ago, me and my fiancé were fooling around, and he was fingering me, and as I was coming, there was this fluid that came out of me, and I'm not sure what that is and if that's normal or...
Female ejaculation, that's normal.
Yes. Okay.
Normal. Good times.
All right.
She's ready to go.
Oh, well, what do you think the problem was? You think it was urine?
Spring a leak?
Yeah, at first.
Water breaking?
I wasn't really sure.
All right. Well, you're cool now, though, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Adam, when
did it feel good?
Yeah.
It's all good.
All right.
Adam, when are we going to get that class going for Americans, sort of Life 101? Or I'm a Human 101. I think that's what I want to call it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I
we talk about basic psychology and basic meaningful physiology, physical functions, death and dying. You think, you know, disease, a little
info.
Yeah, a little info.
Get violence management.
Oh, look, how to fill out a job application, how to balance a checkbook.
I'm a Human 101. That's
little stuff like that.
If that's a guy, if something comes out of a guy and he's orgasming, he's like, I don't care. A midget can come out of a dude and he'll be like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I just came.
Something came out. I'm done.
Perfect.
Yeah. And, let me say this about Life 101. You know, one of my tips, one of my first tips, when you put the cup of noodles in the microwave, don't go 20 seconds, don't go 30 seconds, don't go 1 minute. Instead of 30 seconds, go 33 seconds. You don't have to pick your finger up and put it on the zero. You see what I'm saying?
These sorts of efficiencies.
20, boom,
yeah,
boom.
2-2.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Yeah. Do you hear me?
That's efficient.
Instead of 45 seconds, 44. Boom, boom. Now, here's the problem. People randomly decided, well, I'll put it in for a minute or I'll put it in for a minute and a half or 2 minutes. But it's no better than a minute's no better than a minute and 11 seconds. You see what I'm saying? Right. Boom, boom, boom. That's three.
Here's what I do. The beginning of the week, you set the microwave for an hour and you just put things in and you hit start and you take them out when you need to.
How
about that?
I'll tell you what's wrong with that.
You can't walk away from it.
You forget. You walk away. It happens once in a while when you hook up with a rogue microwave, like at work, and you're just putting your cup of whatever, you're warming something up, and you're trying to hit 30 seconds, but for some reason it pops up 3 minutes, and you do that thing where you go, oh, all right, well, 3 minutes. I'll just come back in 40 seconds and grab it. And then 2.5 minutes later, you smell something burning.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking in the hall to some a-hole whose name you can't remember.
Hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Absolutely.
33 instead of 30. Boom, boom. And what does a minute and 11 seconds sound like, Drew?
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, what's more? Boom, boom, boom. That's boom, 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 boom.
And then you have to hit the start. Boom, boom, boom.
Pop.
Boom.
Yeah.
Pop.
That's it. Paige?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hold on a second. I know, because I went to high school, I went to junior high, I took these ridiculous cooking classes and sewing classes and horticulture. Drew, if you could be like the ghost of education past or future and just float above me and see me in my ceramics class for 16 hours a day, you would be vomiting.
Yes, I'd be
like
vomiting.
Projectile vomiting.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
useless.
I couldn't find goddamn New York on the map, and not the map that didn't have states written on it. I mean, the one that said New York, I couldn't find New York on the map when I left high school. It never took geography. Never any Latin or anything like that. Never anything. Cooking, sewing, horticulture, ceramics.
Metal shop. You big shanks on the side.
Warehousing.
How far would it have been just to expose you to some material? Just expose you to it.
Just never heard a lick of classical music or any exposed to any classic literature. We didn't read Moby Dick and there was nothing even close to that. It was just sit there and warehouse the tards. That's all it was. There was a sign we slapped on the way in. You know when the Notre Dame football team hits the field, says like play like champions or something. They whack them. Ours was warehouse the tards, and we would all everyone who came in, boom, wow. Bam. Every student, every just
they
slapped
hit their
them.
Head, bam, hit the head, bam, hit the head.
Yeah, the doorway was only 5'9". Pow, warehouse the tards. It said big, it was a big plaque. I think it must have been from the '30s. Yeah, all right. Let's keep going, Drew. You're making
me
depressed now.
Here we go.
Think what I could have done. Think what my potential could have been, Drew.
How dare you? How dare you?
Paige?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yep.
I'd like to sue. I'd like to sue my counselors. I'd like to sue everyone involved in my education.
You know,
I'm going to sue my parents, and then I'm suing the L.A. Unified School District.
I think the L.A. Unified should be responsible for what they've done.
Yeah, and here's what my lawyer's going to do. That's what we're going to do. He's going to put up a big map of the United States, and he's going to go, find Florida. And I'm going to go right in the middle of the country, poke my finger, just right in those square cities and states in the middle of the country. He's going, no, sweetie, it's by the ocean, and then I'm going up to Canada. That's where I'm going. I'm going way past Canada, going into the Bering Straits and stuff. And they're going to be, no, it sticks out, and then I'm going to Italy because it's going to be a world one. And I say, arrest my case. And there's no judge in the land that wouldn't award me millions of dollars. All right. You ready to rock?
Yeah.
Paige?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paige, you're 23.
Yep. I've been married for 3 years.
And then you know what the next one's going to be? I don't know how I'm going to work out. He's going to go,
I'm pregnant and I'm leaving him.
What is the prime meridian? And my head will explode. Just guts and brain matter everywhere.
Tropic of Cancer.
And that's it. We'll collect the money. I mean, my next of kin. Paige?
Yep.
Sorry, go ahead. 23.
You've been married 3 years.
I just recently split with my husband. Mm-hmm. We were trying to have a baby about 5 months ago. And I was getting sick a lot. And so I was going to the doctor quite frequently. So, and
What were you getting sick with?
Just colds a lot and flu, stuff like that. And anyway, I was going to the doctor a lot, and I got tested positive for HIV. And I confronted my husband, and he admitted cheating on me with one of the strippers at his bachelor party. Mm-hmm. And I made him go to the doctor, and he tested positive also. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of wondering what I could do.
So what are you doing for HIV now?
They're putting me on some medication. I'm not exactly, I don't remember the name of it as of right now because I've only been on it for a couple of weeks.
Well, why don't you grab the bottle and tell me what it is?
Hold on one sec.
Okay. Yeah. Drew just wants to make sure it's not bogus.
But isn't it almost statistically, not impossible, but very hard for a man to HIV from a woman?
God, I hope so.
It's difficult, but it's not impossible. So it's, you know, we talk to a lot of people.
You know, before, when I hooked up with my wife, she made me go get tested.
Really?
And I said,
I would too.
Well, I was a little dirty then.
Yeah.
And my doctor looked at me and said, wait, have you ever done intravenous drugs? No. And he said, have you ever had gay sex? I said, just once in college.
Seth Green doesn't count.
But that
count.
Doesn't count with Seth. No, but, and I said, no, of course not. And he
you're
said,
gonna be negative.
He's like, yeah. There's no reason to take the test.
Oh, no. Now, haven't you seen the commercials? Anybody can get it. We all have the same chance, whether we live in Hades and stand at the end of glory holes, or you're just a 22-year-old white guy who's from Salt Lake City and engages nothing but heterosexual sex. We all, it's the same. It's equal. It's equal. We're all in as great a danger as anybody else. I don't know why they're going to ram that stuff up everyone's ass.
You'll scare them. That's
not,
why.
And by the way, it's not discriminating to say that sickle cell attacks black people and doesn't really attack white people. That's what the disease does. The disease works with...
Gay-sax hits Jewish people. That's it.
It does?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And those curly things that hang off where their sideburns are? Does it pass? Something. The point is there's certain things that focus on certain groups all the time.
Genetically, absolutely.
Genetically, and yes, if you're doing intravenous drugs and you're engaging in homosexual behavior without protection, you have a much greater risk. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to do it? It's all the same. I've never been with anyone, and my partners have heard, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You have to put a condom on because we're all, why do you got to drag everyone in? What is that? It's a super weird liberal faggoty thing. What is that?
Well, I think it was a, when the epidemic was going.
That's a stupid.
Well, people didn't know how far
faggoty
it was going to go.
Actors with all their crap.
The
just
consequences
shut up.
Are so profound. So anyway.
And look, oh wait, maybe me do a rant on this, Drew. Paige. Paige.
Yeah, she magically took off.
Well, she went and got her medication. Hold on a second, Paige. But now it's like.
Can I say the worst thing about getting tested? They do that swab. That is the most painful thing
scrape
ever.
Or the swab, yeah.
Really?
Scrape. You call it scrape. I call it acid in my urethra.
Swab. Oh,
yeah, that thing.
Oh, that's not HIV.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's
no but you get the whole test. You know, you do the whole barrage. You do the whole.
But you do
well,
your
right.
Your wife insisted you
well, she's
do the
a
whole
smart
barrage.
Woman.
I like that, though. It's like when you buy a new house. You have the guy come through with the flashlight.
Mold testing.
Yeah, he comes back. It's like, Lillard's not fit to be inhabited.
I'm
going to yellow tape his underpants. I don't want anyone going in there. Yeah, we have to have a hazmat team go in there and clean things out first. He's got asbestos in his urine. He's a mess. All right, I don't know where Paige is. Paige?
She took his bogus. She took off.
All right, but how does she take off? Doesn't she have to hang up or something? Or is it just her? She's still sitting there.
She may be going online and looking for antiretroviral meds.
How come we don't hear anything? Then she's supposed to put the phone down? All right.
Bounce.
I'm putting her back on hold. But I got to go on a quick rant here about this HIV thing, which I was yelling at Drew about on the ride home the other night.
Mm. Do you guys ride in together?
Oh, no.
We don't talk enough when we're here. So on the way home, we got to talk.
The divisive rants spill out into the parking lot and then go on to the 10 freeway,
yeah.
Too, because I'm fired up. Listen, here's the whole thing. Oh, God, do I hate it. I hate everybody. We're just talking about how HIV is something you live with now, whereas you died 10 years ago.
Right.
And it just used to be a death sentence immediately. Drew, when you first started hearing about this...
When I was in training, I would routinely be telling people they had 3 months to live. When they came in with their pneumocystis carinii pneumonia and they were their first being diagnosed, we'd say you have 3 months.
Right.
Now was it true? I mean, was
absolutely,
that...
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Now it's, hey, you're going to live with this the rest of your life like diabetes.
No, yes. Come on. It's that under control.
Absolutely. Magic Johnson, does he look... How's
no,
it
but you. But
God
but
healed
you,
him,
you know man. That there's a guy out there that gets away with it, but you don't think. No, I never thought. I mean,
HIV is a chronic disease now. It's not a. It used to be a month on the order of months death sentence. Now it's a chronic illness.
Wow.
Right.
Absolutely. We have absolutely.
I didn't know that. I had
no
idea.
It is one of the most miraculous stories in the history of medicine.
And
that within a few years of a disorder appearing. Its epidemiology worked out, the causative agent isolated, and very effective treatments.
But, Drew, I thought the man wasn't doing anything.
Or the man created it.
Yeah,
it's all
he infected
a product.
The gay populace.
In fact, the medication is making HIV disease.
Yeah.
Making AIDS.
Well, what about the, is this now, are these medications, holistic medications, or are they produced by huge drug companies?
Huge drug companies doing billions of dollars
right.
of research.
So listen, here's the point. This country never gets tired of, about complaining about the man. Oh, the big drug companies. Oh, the big drug. They're saving your goddamn lives. Okay? I don't care what they charge. You're alive. I don't care what they do. They're a business. Everyone did was whine. Oh, we're not getting research. We're not getting proper funding. Or the drug companies aren't. Shut your pie hole. We got rid of your crappy disease. Please. And how about some thanks for the man? How about all you bleeding heart whining wussies that did nothing but complain about what the man isn't doing and the drug companies and the Republicans and the administration and how it was gay bashing and all that? How about a little thanks now?
Just think that it took 6,000 years to identify and figure out how to treat and cure syphilis. 6,000 years.
That's
it took
right.
20 years for HIV.
That's right.
It's amazing. It's a miracle.
By the way, it's still not available worldwide. I mean, Africa still has
trouble.
It's ridiculous. Make it available.
We've refocused on the man now.
Yeah.
What do you... okay. So you've cleaned it up in this country. Your work is not done. Now go help another continent that can't stop effing themselves without condoms. Well, geez, we don't have that. Aha! More discrimination from the man. Please. Go kiss up John's ass. Go kiss Pfizer's ass. Go tell him you apologize for all the crappy things you said about him and then thank them for saving your life and all your artsy friends. And then go to Africa and go help them. And shut up. Please. I can't stand that. So it's a big conspiracy, and it's discrimination, and if these guys weren't gay and the man's not doing this, well, it's under control now, isn't it? It's been a blink of an eye, relatively. The blink of an eye.
Unprecedented.
Unprecedented. All right, and now it's in Africa, and we got to do something about that? Well, go ahead. All you guys that were complaining, get on a plane. Go to your beloved Africa.
Why can't they do something about cancer?
Yeah, why not, Drew?
I mean, that's...
That's hundreds of different diseases.
Too many different kinds.
It's hundreds of different diseases. Each cancer is a completely different disease.
And by the way, if we weren't putting all the time and research into AIDS over the last 15 years, maybe we could have made a move on something like cancer, which takes a lot more people. But no, we had to go work on the
it got very popular, disease
du jour.
That disease got very popular.
What,
I mean,
HIV?
HIV became the thing. You know, AIDS walks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everyone's like marching and organizing behind this disease. What we need to do is get like cancer a PR campaign.
Yes. Yeah,
cancer is hundreds of different diseases.
Here's the thing. Here's what we got caught up in. We got so caught up in secondhand smoke and HIV that we didn't have enough to put into cancer.
So
because, first-rate killer is secondhand smoke, and then the handful of people that died of HIV, please.
People would argue that the smoking and secondhand smoke campaign is a attempt at dealing with cancer.
All right,
okay.
All right, yeah, secondhand smoke. Became first-rate killer.
First-rate killer. Killed at least five people.
Right.
Secondhand smoke.
Not Rob Reiner. He said it killed 54,000 people last year. You guys got to work it out.
Wait, maybe not.
Maybe you can meet in the middle. Maybe they're willing to lie down to like 25.
I love Cartman's copy.
All right, I don't. I'm jagging. But look, all you pussies and never stop complaining. Go to Africa. They got an AIDS problem over there. Go over there and help. Go do something. Get on your plane and go help. Stop your whining, and go help. All right, or shut up, idiots. All right, let's take a quick break. Matthew Lillard is here. I just want to say...
You're looking at him in the eyes, by the way. As he screams at Dr. Drew, he looks him in the eyes and screams at Drew.
Yeah.
Does this happen every night?
Every other night.
I'm just saying, thank the man. Start kissing the man's ass. Start thanking the man.
Thank you, man.
Because you guys didn't come up with the cure. The man did. Don't forget that.
They could always buy the
You and all your pussy yoga and
Africa.
All that. You didn't come up with ass. The man did. Go thank him. Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Matthew Lillard is here. Summer Catch is coming out on DVD. And
stop.
All right.
Scooby-Doo 2 disc is coming out.
Yeah.
I like Scooby-Doo 2.
Do too.
You didn't like it?
I did like it.
Oh, you did? It's actually a much better movie than the first movie.
I agree with you. It was really good.
It just didn't do as well.
I even think that...
Really?
Yeah.
That was a good film.
Bad release. I think Warner Brothers dropped the ball on the release. Who cares?
I think Roper or Ebert... Liked it. One of them was saying how much they liked it.
Yeah, it was
good. It's a great movie. Yeah, yeah. It's a great movie for kids, great movie for families.
No, it had an interesting story.
Actually, I thought it was really good.
Yep.
I got to kiss a little actor ass I've done with Matthew before, but, everyone gets caught up in these, the guy's struggling with his sexuality, doesn't have the use of his arm, and he has a bad accent. To me, The Tallest Order is playing somebody that people are familiar with, like becoming Shaggy.
Yes.
While not Oscar worthy, is something we couldn't do.
You actually one point went on a last year Oscars went on a long jag about it being Oscar worthy. You remember that?
No,
Corolla, hug me.
Here's what I said though. I did say if you took.
You didn't say give him an Oscar. You said this is a tall order, and if you consider what Oscar should be.
It sounds ridiculous, but if someone said, look, you got to play an alcoholic cop, I'd be like, fine. If they said, you've got to play a speed racer, I'd be like, I can't do it.
It's not going to work. The hardest thing about that movie is the dog. I mean, the fact that there's nothing there was the toughest thing. I mean, the impression's one thing, but the...
There was no guy in a suit or anything?
No.
Nothing.
I mean, there was a point where, in the first movie, we had a little person.
Yeah.
What's the PC term? Not midget.
Shrimp.
We had a...
Vertically challenged.
Vertically challenged guy.
Bay shrimp.
Chris Kershanks, who dressed up in a dog suit.
Right.
This is like for crowd scenes. He dressed up with a dog suit, like a Scooby outfit, and they attach a wagon to him. and he'd walk around behind me so that people could see where Scooby-Doo is walking, which was a very bizarre thing, because I'd take off running, and I'm tall, and I'm a fast mammal, and he's a slow mammal, and I'd come booking around the corner like, zoinks! And then all of a sudden, out comes Chris Kershanks and his little wagon tipping over 10 seconds behind me.
By the way, it must have been a great conversation he had with his agent. Chris, baby, how are you, baby doll? Love you. Look, got a gig. No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Under the Rainbow 3, but just listen to me, baby doll. Scooby-Doo, know I'm loving? Beautiful. I'm going to get you 10 weeks work, union scale. It's going to be great. Getting a dog outfit, getting the red flyer, getting the radio flyer. Lillard's going to be dragging you around. He's fast, so you got to hang. And I think we can get you a bump because it's going to be dangerous. Yeah, that's
Can
awesome.
I say that, actually... you know, I talked about Seth Green, and I just want to take 2 seconds. It drives me crazy that Dax Shepard from Punk'd, MTV's Punk, is now the hottest kid in Hollywood. This kid right now, big movie star.
Just ask him.
No, well, he is, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's taking off right now.
He is.
And a very talented guy. I love him, and I couldn't be happy
for him. Oh, you want to give some props to Dax?
Yeah. I'd like to break his knees and slow him down a little.
Yeah. It,
in one movie, he's kind of rocketed past me.
Well, that's the thing, too, is you got to watch out, because you're not going to be competing with the Seth Greens of the world, but the Dax Shepherds of the world. You guys might get called into this.
Oh, we just did. We Mike Judge movie.
Uncomfortable.
Between Dax and I, guess who won that war?
You.
No.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah, Dax Shepard. Yeah. Big star.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Big, big frickin' star.
Yeah. And a nice guy. Came in here and sat down with us, was it 2 weeks ago now, Drew?
No. Dyslexic anthropologist. Right.
He won't be back on the show again, though, if he's going to be a big star. Right. So let's hope he just keep it at B
medium
level.
Medium star, yeah.
High B, B plus. You get to the A.
Oh, wow. I should never do the show.
Again. The
no,
show.
No, no. You, no, no, you and Seth. No, you right and there. Seth. You
you're
and right Seth there. Are way up.
You're keeping it real. Yeah. You're keeping it real.
Word.
Evan?
Yo.
You're 22?
Give some praise for Dr. Drew. You are the man. Mr. Carolla, I go through the left turn red lights all the time.
Yes, thank you.
And Mr. Matthew Lillard, I pray, I bow down to your greatness as an actor.
Wow.
I loved SLC Punk. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
And my cult classic. Everyone loves that movie.
Let me stop for a second, Evan. They have left turn arrows, red arrows in Boise?
Yes, they do.
Okay. All right. Well,
actually, I just got off work, and it's about 12:30 here, and I'm just about to drive through one right now. It's
good.
My routine.
Good,
good
man.
I constantly go through it.
Yeah,
so.
Taking the streets back.
Fifth of gin, blow the red lights.
Hold on.
Awesome.
Just 1 second. Just, let me just make sure everyone's up to speed here. And Matthew, I'd like you to do this. As a celebrity, your driving influences many other motorists.
Of course.
Here's the deal. Somehow, somebody decided we needed all these left turn arrows in Los Angeles, and they've been popping up probably at about five an intersection probably per week over the last, 5 years, all over the place. I don't mind the idea. You're trying to alleviate traffic more than two cars can turn left. The problem is they turn red at the end, and the signal's still green. So you got a red arrow, you got people waiting, and oftentimes it's in the middle of the night. If you leave this studio and head out into Culver City, you get caught at one of those arrows. There are no cars coming. Your light is green. There's nothing going on. A week ago, you could have made the turn because the arrow wasn't there. Now you're sitting there waiting for the signal cycle
I see the problem.
Around.
I see
Here's
the problem.
My point. Why must we sit in the middle of the night with no traffic coming and a green light and not turn left? Why is that illegal to turn left? And here's my point. Just do it. Let's just turn left. Should we all just sit there? Is really we're going to let the state do this to us? Just sit there for no reason? It's as if somebody, you're just walking down the sidewalk and someone said, stop, it's dangerous to walk forward. And you said, but there's nothing in front of me. And they go, well, yeah, but at noon, there's things that are in front of you. The manhole cover's open at noon. Yeah, I know, but it's 1 a.m. and it's not, it's covered up now. No, you stay. You wait. Yeah, but nothing's... Wait, or I'll give you a ticket. I mean, that's what it is. It's for another time. It is not that time. And they won't put them on timers, by the way. God forbid. They have technology. Oh, they put the cameras up. They got the cameras up at the intersection, and they got it worked out, so if you drive through a split second late, you get a ticket in the goddamn mail 3 days later. That technology they got. They don't have the timer part on the arrows. They can't do it. It sees no difference on a Sunday at 4 in the morning than it does at rush hour in the middle of the week. Really? We can't work that whole timer thing out? Nothing? Not technology-wise?
We cured AIDS, for God's sake.
We cured AIDS. We did. The man did. Now, how come the man can't work the timer out on the arrow?
Damn, man.
Here's the point. I want everyone to drive through these arrows. That's all I do. That's all I do. That's all I do. I'm telling you something. Now I'm on my feet, Drew.
Get him, bro! Get him!
Let me tell you how crazy I am with these arrows. I not only drive through the arrow when I'm first in line, but if another car's waiting, a stooge, a lemming, a whipping boy, a puss is waiting so the man can tell him when it's okay to turn left, even though there's no traffic coming the other direction. But when a stooge is waiting and I'm coming up, I don't slide in behind him. I turn left in front of him from the other lane. And let me tell you a new record I set the other day in Burbank. Oh, you call it Burbank, but what do I call it, Drew?
Rape Bank.
Rape Bank, because all they do is write chicken-ass tickets over there and rape the good citizens who are stupid enough to live in that town. All they do is rape, jaywalking. There's nobody I know who hasn't gotten a jaywalking ticket in that dump. But the point is I drove by two banks of cars waiting for the arrow. Oh, yes. Looking there's a
double
place.
Lane.
Double lane of stooges waiting for the arrow. And they went back like eight cars deep on both sides. Just a whole parking lot of stooges waiting to turn left. Big A, left in front of both of them. Two lanes worth of left. And people are like, are you kidding? You're going to get killed. How am I going to get killed? There's no cars coming. How come you don't get killed at the other intersections? What about the intersections with no red arrow? Are you going to get killed? You sit there and you go, I see no cars coming. I'm going to turn left. You're going to kill yourself. You will kill. Really? You're going to kill? What? We've brainwashed. What's happened to this country?
You got
to
have the green light, though. If you don't have the green light,
you'll
get killed.
Oh, yeah. You got to have the green light.
You got to have the green.
You got to have the green. Oh, this is all predicated on the green.
You got it. Yeah, you got to have the green.
It is green. It is green, but is
blast away.
Is God is my witness. I turn by two banks of pussies sitting there, two of them, and oftentimes do one, and then there's a 1-2 thing, because Burbank's filled with, give me a ticket. Give me a ticket,
you
pussies.
I the reason I'm not chiming in is yes. I'm a beaten citizen.
Drew got a ticket.
Two tickets.
Two? Photos?
No. One was an entrapment, which I tried to fight. They told me to go to hell. Two tickets.
Did you tell them who you were?
Just got a letter from DMV saying if I get a third taking license.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
So you're advising these people in ways
do
that
it.
They should be aware
do
of.
It. Do it, you pussies.
They are hardcore in this state. It's ridiculous.
Do it. Stop letting the man rape you. Do it. Don't let the man tell you what to do. Sitting there like a lemming waiting
Revolution.
To get hit by a drunk driver.
Revolution
Turn.
Now!
If we all do it, we'll all get away with it. It's safety in numbers, my children.
Swing low.
That's right. Free
Sweet
our people!
Chariot.
Amen.
Okay.
I need to clarify something. I look at calls coming up here, people going, how dare you say the HIV is difficult to get for men? Let's be super clear about it. It is more difficult for a man to catch HIV during intercourse, vaginal intercourse, than for him to give it to a woman. And it is, as your doctor pointed out to you, Matthew, if you don't, you're not in a risk category, we basically don't test.
Oh, but we're all equal.
Because
you can't judge.
If you're not at risk behavior, you can't have the virus.
And women are a different thing. Women are a receptacle.
They're receptacle, so there's a higher risk of transmission.
Right.
But even them... Although women of color are the most rapidly increasing population,
well, that's the man.
We're going from 3 to 30. You know what I mean? The numbers are still very small.
Now, when he was bringing drugs and guns into the people of color's neighborhood, he also brought the HIV.
And it is still almost exclusively in risk. In risk
and by the way, and you
people
know,
sleeping with
and
risk guys
know,
guys.
And you know.
Sleeping with IV drug users, sleeping with men who have sex with men.
Drew,
that's the population.
Everyone has an equal chance, please. How dare you? Evan?
Yeah.
Well, here's the hypocrisy of it. The light I drove through, the very next two lights, left turn yield green.
Oh, yeah,
yield. What the hell is that?
That's good. Okay. That's what you want.
That's good, but we don't have that. We don't have that kind of technology. And by the way, all we do is talk about get this city moving. Please, we don't even have that. They have in Boise, for Christ's sake. There's three pickup trucks in all of Boise and one guy to drive them. All right, Evan, God bless you for driving through those red arrows.
Is that it, Evan?
I had a question for Mr. Lillard.
Sorry, we're out of time.
What do you plan on working on next?
You know, without a paddle opens tomorrow, I'm hoping everyone motivates to see that.
You know what
the thing is they think... By the way, we're the underdogs of the summer.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm the lead guy in this movie, the only reason I get the girl in this movie is because they didn't want to pay anyone any money. Paramount was like, oh, we'll give them a shot because we're not going to give this movie a shot. And I think that this movie, hopefully, with people will get out and see it, and it will kill this weekend, and we'll teach them all that.
That's
Seth Green,
right.
Matthew
what about
Blair,
Wicker
Dak
Park?
Shepard, big stars.
Wicker Park,
that has a big star in it. Josh Hartnett, that dreamy heartthrob from Pearl Harbor, is in that film. It's me and him and two women. It's a remake of a French film called The Apartment. That comes out in September. That's actually a really good movie.
Oh.
And
The Apartment, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm doing the 24-hour plays in New York on Broadway in September, early September, which is they take six writers and six directors and 24 actors, and they get together at 10 o'clock on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And the writers write plays all through the night. They turn the plays in at 7 in the morning. At 7, between 7 and 8, the directors fight over the plays, and they choose their plays. So basically, everyone shows up, and the writers write plays for the actors that are involved. And the actors involved are Sam Rockwell and myself and film with Seymour Hoffman and like really great people. Marissa Tomei, Brooke Shields.
This is one of those artsy things, not for the
very
money.
Very arty.
All right.
Very arty.
Hold on a second. I want to talk a little more about that because it is interesting how that works. We got to take a quick break, though. Drew, I think I got some gas. I'm going to let it go in the bathroom if you come join me.
Excellent.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Matthew Lillard is in tonight. Without a Paddle, name of the movie, out tomorrow. Dax Shepard in that. Seth Green in that. All right, Drew.
There you go.
Quick home improvement question. Liz?
Oh, I was going to take that next.
Come on, bud. What's going on there? 19?
Yes. My door during the summer, sticks for some reason. During the winter, it opens and shuts just fine and, perfect. Mm-hmm. And then during the summer, I don't know what happens, but it, sticks really
bad. Well, you're calling from Georgia.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it's drier in the winter, and so something's swelling up.
Mm-hmm. So what can I do to, fix it?
Could it be the heat expanding it, too? The cold in the winter?
No. It's either moisture or not. I don't think the temperature really doesn't have much effect.
It sticks. Where does it stick? Can you tell?
Well, I thought it was the hinges or something, so I put WD-40 on it, but it didn't work whatsoever. And then
sand it down.
It's the wood, right where it closes.
Yeah.
Good sanding.
Strike side of the jam. You got to figure out where it's grabbing.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, okay. Here's the point. Overall door technique, everybody. Don't just start sanding stuff down and filing stuff down.
Give it a sanding.
Stuff down. No, because you're moving something that did fit at one point, and you're taking something away from it. What you need to do is make it work, not start taking something off it. You know what I mean? It's if I had this peg that went into this hole and it didn't line up, don't start shaving the peg. Get it to line up.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's not. But she's not changing. The door is not changing. It's the you just sand. I'm not saying sand down 7 inches. You sand the paint off of it.
That's not a
fit. Fine.
It's not a fix, though. It's not the reason it's sticking because it worked for 20 years.
Yeah, but you can't change the climate. You can't change the humidity.
You don't need the door.
No need.
You can't change the door.
You can, but the door has to want to change. All right, Drew.
I just like the fact that you're a carpenter. People can tell you how to do carpentry.
Well,
it makes me feel good as a doctor.
Matthew doesn't know I'm a carpenter.
You're a carpenter. What are you supposed to do then?
First off, I'm a fantastic
carpenter. Move away from Georgia.
How dare you? All right, first thing you should do is make sure all the screws are tied on the hinge side, that it's not loose, it's not sagging, that's not doing something like that. And so once you cinch that up, because that could be a problem there. Just get a Phillips head screwdriver and tighten down all those wood screws. And if you get one that's a spinner or something like that, take a little piece of popsicle stick or something wooden. Jam it in the hole where the screw is with a little glue. And then when it dries, just bust it off and put the screw back in. It'll give something to bite to. Okay. So suck all that part up tight. And then secondly, I would work on trying to move the jam around a little. Find the part where it's tight. Put a little finish nail in there, put a block, you know, drive the nail in, and then just put a block of wood on it, whack it with the hammer a little, and get the jam. Not the door. Don't change the door. Get the jam to move around. See if you can do that. If you can't do that, then eventually start moving it.
In the hinge, or you
can also physically bend the hinges by putting a block on the hinge and whacking it with a hammer, or putting like a crescent wrench on it and tweaking it and sucking the door. Move the door around. Don't take stuff off the door. Move the jam around. Don't take stuff off the jam. That's the key.
I stand corrected. Who knew?
Oh, that's all right.
Jeez.
Danica?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. What's happening?
I've been in a relationship with this guy for a couple of years, and we have an 11-month-old child.
It's not bad.
It's been a violent relationship at time when the baby.
There you go.
It's bad.
All right.
There you go. It's love line.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Violent.
Yeah. You guys are getting me confused.
All right. Keep talking.
Okay. Anyways, the baby's 11 months. When he was first born, he went on.
All right. All right, here's the problem. We got 20 seconds left in the show.
She can't track quickly enough. Get her for tomorrow
night. She's distracted. She's got a kid. What night? It's Thursday night.
Sunday night. Get her number.
Sunday night. Yeah. And look, if a guy's getting violent, and here's all I want you guys to do. Your life is effed up and destroyed already. Don't screw up the kid's life.
Please.
Please. And all that, oh, the kid never sees anything. Oh, we're violent in the next room. Oh, no, look, I'm cooking up a little meth, but I'm a great mom. They know everything.
I've been here 5 times. Every single time I'm on the show, you have to say that.
I do.
Why don't people listen?
Oh.
God.
If they did, I'll tell you what, I'd be out of a job. I tell you what. We got to take a quick break. Matthew, your friend here tonight. Take a quick break. Be right back.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Well, that's the show. That's the week. I want to thank some people that deserve to be thanked. First, phone screener Brian for doing a fantabulous job all week long. Who's our engineer over there? What happened?
Dave.
Big Dave. Dave doing a wonderful job over there filling the very big, big sandals of Engineer Anderson and doing a fine job all week. I want to thank Engineer Chris out here at the Mother Station, K-Rock, and Junior producer Lauren for doing a fantabulous job. And, of course, producer Ann for booking big name acts like Matthew Lillard, who can be found in Without a Paddle, coming out tomorrow. That's Friday the 20th. And next week, oh, my God, Lisa Loeb, Jenna Jameson, Black Eyed Peas. Who don't we have on this show, Drew? So until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.